Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Rivalry Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
You talk me out!
Brought to you by Roto-Rooter, the experts in plumbing, drains, and water cleanup. Oregon versus Oregon State.
Sully to throw it. Takes off. Delivers a shot and makes the first down. Lance Mitchell came up to meet the quarterback. Masoli won the battle.
It's Rivalry Week on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, and the Odyssey app.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Friday. It is your sports bros. Rop, that's me. Big Souk right over there. Look at him.
Right here.
We also have Ryan Buckley over there. He's got his Fighting Duck shirt on today, just reminding us that he's representing for Oregon.
Is he wearing a duck hat, too? Are you
keep
doubling
rolling,
up?
Rolling. What?
No, just a gray hat.
Got a golf hat on.
Yeah.
I
can't double up.
I can't either. I can't do the double merch.
That's just not...
I was telling my wife that the other day. She didn't understand that.
No?
Yeah. I said, because, yeah, she was just like, well...
I think you can do it going to a game or going to watch a big game if that's, like, the central thing of your day. But you're just going about your day. Double merch is a little much.
Well, I don't... Anybody that does that, it's fine. We get it.
Yeah.
You're a fan.
Sure.
I'm with you guys. I would only wear one piece of clothing for my team. If I have a hat, in other words, if I have a hat, I'm not wearing the shirt.
No. I feel weird. Then I feel like I'm getting ready to like go in the game.
Yeah, I will not wear a Ducks hat with a Ducks shirt or vice versa.
Yeah. My gal, when she goes down, because the BTJ is an Oregon grad.
She's a Duck.
She's a Duck. So once a year, she guilts me into taking her to her game, and she does the whole thing. She does the socks, the shorts, the
it's
shirt.
All decked out.
Yeah, the decked
all
out.
Ducked out.
There's like a face sticker on there. And like,
oh, does she do the Oregon branded eye black?
Yeah, she's all about it. And like, we went down, they played BYU a couple years ago. And so I was like, oh, we'll go down to that. And I wore a t-shirt underneath my sweatshirt. And she goes, really? Like, that's that? And I said, that's all I own. Yeah. I own like.
Well, you're not a Duck fan.
No, BYU.
No, BYU
stuff. I wasn't listening.
I own two pieces of BYU gear. I was like, one's a sweatshirt, one's
attention?
A t-shirt. I'm like,
nope.
I can't wear one over the top. And she was disgusted at my fandom.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't.
This is how we do it.
I played. What do you want?
I don't own a lot of fan gear. I don't have a lot of, like, I wear a Mets hat. That's like, I just don't own a lot of. And if I did, I just can't bring myself to double, let alone the triple up. Boy, you go triple up, now you've made it.
Well, what would that even be?
Well, that would be like the shorts, or you'd go...
Jersey hat, shorts?
Yeah, or like maybe t-shirt, jacket, hat.
Also, team-themed shoes are very popular.
Yes.
Yeah. Where are they?
Yeah. Yeah, just...
green and yellow Nikes, there's plenty of those out there.
Yeah, I just can't bring myself to do it. So.
Well, the Ducks have a lot of pretty cool gear, you know?
Yeah,
they do.
Yeah, they got nice looking stuff.
As opposed to like, I don't know if you're a St. Louis Cardinals fan, you know, do you have as many options?
Yeah. Well, I've always found like the Adidas team stuff, I think, kind of looks like crap.
Well, I think all the NFL stuff looks stupid.
Yeah. Although like some of the, they're trying to get better. Like the hats they have this year, they're a little better.
This year and last year, the hats have been better than prior.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to empty out the notebook here. The tickle trunk, as it were.
Oh, I love a good tickle trunk.
Before we get to Joey. Joey coming on at 5:30. He played quarterback for the Ducks. I don't know if you guys know that.
I'm familiar.
So he was in this game against Oregon State. He knows what it's about. He's an Oregonian through and through, born and raised here. Would he like to see the Oregon-Oregon State rivalry continue after this season? We'll talk to Joey at 5:30. Something I had in my notes that we never got to. I wanted to toss this out because this, we won't get back to it. And it is athletes that bring you joy. Mm. And this is different than great athletes.
Okay.
Okay, I want to make that distinction because I put this in my notes because I was watching, this was, I guess, Sunday night,
mm-hmm.
Baker Mayfield. Or yeah. was that Monday night? That was Monday night.
Monday night.
Yeah, so
one of the Monday night games.
So for Tuesday's show, I anticipated us getting to this, and we never got to it. And here we are on Friday, and I'm just going to spit it out.
Okay.
I have a list, and I wonder if you guys do too, of athletes that just bring you joy. And Baker Mayfield has made my list. I absolutely love watching him play.
It's funny, because I think, and I don't know if this kind of spurred it, but I remember we were watching that game in here, and Baker went on some sort of scramble and like kind of dove over someone and
what was that talk fourth, some ass afterwards.
It was the fourth down scramble.
Yeah, it was the fourth down scramble. He gets upended and he gets up and he's kind of running. And I remember we were both sitting here. I was like, dude, I freaking love watching that guy play. He's kind of like this. He's not the best, but he's good enough. And he kind of talks ass and he's like, he's a bro. And
well, and bad. Bad Baker is fun to watch.
Yes.
Because when he throws really bad picks, it's hilarious. Yes.
I heard a great analysis of this. Someone said, watching Baker Mayfield play quarterback is kind of like listening to Slipknot. You're not sure if it's good music, but you might like the aggressive vibe.
Yes.
Boy, that is a great analogy. And I love a good analogy.
God, that is good. So I was thinking about this, and I have four. There are probably more, but here are my main four. Okay, these are athletes that bring me joy, and everyone's list will be different.
Okay.
These are just athletes that I really love watching craft.
Is this all time or just?
No, this is just right now.
Oh, right now.
I just did a right now thing.
Okay.
Because, you know, I mean.
Yeah, I know.
My man, George.
Well, yeah. But sometimes, like you said, it's not always the best. And like, we joke about it, but he is one of my all-time favorite baseball players. Watching Bartolo Colon play made me happy.
Brought you joy.
Yes. He brought me.
There you go.
Good or bad.
And that's different because, yeah, he was an all-star here and there, but he was never like super, superstar.
Watching him play, when he came to New York, I was so fired up because, like, even when he wasn't a Met, he just made me smile. He was freaking greatness.
So my list is just four.
Okay.
And there are some honorable mentions. Like, I put Carlos Alcaraz on my honorable mention.
Sure.
I like to watch tennis yeah. kinda, yeah. but he's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Also, Justin Herbert makes my honorable mention.
Okay.
I think he is a really fun watch.
Sure.
Of course, Brandon Aubrey.
Yeah.
Naturally.
Shohei. Yeah. But here are the four.
Shohei's a good one.
He's fun, but the four that bring me the most joy, Steph Curry.
That is my number one with a bullet. No question.
And I don't know how he could, like, if you're watching him, how he couldn't bring you
and
joy.
It isn't, like you said, it isn't just being good. It's the energy around it. It's the stuff we saw at the Olympics
awesome.
And all of that.
Absolutely awesome. Baker Mayfield, Bobby Witt, if you guys probably haven't,
yeah.
Bobby!
A lot of our listeners probably haven't watched.
I do love me some Bobby Witt.
Royals baseball, but he is fun
yeah.
and really freaking good.
Yeah.
And Rory McIlroy.
Rory, huh?
I absolutely okay. love Rory. And it's the same thing as Baker,
yeah.
although he's much more.
Sure.
He's much more elite at his sport than Baker.
Yeah.
But Roy's got a little, I mean, he's a wild ride, dude.
Yeah.
You saw it at the Masters.
Yes.
He is an absolute wild ride. And he was just last weekend. They were playing like, that was the Irish Open.
You're going to white knuckle that thing.
He does some amazing things. And then also it's like, what did he just
yeah,
do?
Yeah, some pound your head against the wall things.
So those would be my four.
That's good. Now you set me down this list I'm trying to think of. Because like all time I could give it to you. I would say, in the NFL, it's a split because the Baker Mayfield one is really good, but like you already had Baker. Watching Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen play quarterback,
yeah,
I can't.
One better than the other for you? Because to me, there is one better than the other, or not better. Gives me more joy. I enjoy watching Josh Allen more than I watch.
I think I do too. That little flip that he had last night on the shovel on the rollout.
Is it because he's working with less? And it feels like he's more caring.
I think that's a good question.
I kind of feel like he seems like he has to improvise a little more than yes. Lamar, who maybe leans a little bit more on the pure athleticism. And,
yes.
and so Josh seems like there's maybe a craftiness to it sometimes.
I feel like, yes, I think that's a good way to put it. I feel like Josh is a little bit more, what did he just do? Whereas Lamar is like, oh, he just ran for 20 yards.
Yeah.
What a run.
Oh, damn, he did it again.
He did it. Yeah, it's like, okay. We've seen that. So I think Josh is a little bit more dynamic in that way.
I would probably say, and this is razor thin, I think it's Lamar for me. Just he does stuff that I just can't process. Like I don't, he is just so unique when I watch him play. I just find myself gravitating to Baltimore. And as fun as Josh Allen is, I just think Lamar does more things that it breaks my brain. He's a better version of Michael Vick. Like he sometimes he has scrambles that you're like, no human being should do that. And he's actually a good thrower of the football too. I said he's a better version of Michael Vick. So I would say that's probably mine for football. Can't take my eyes off of him. I'm trying to think, like Steph might be universal. Iverson was this way for me back in the day. I could not watch Allen
Iverson.
Yeah,
he was fun.
I always said if I had to pay to watch one person in the NBA on a random Tuesday night, it would probably be AI, and that's Steph. That's he is that. He is worth the price of admission each and every time. And generally, he's not an ass, and that kind of makes me feel pretty good. And it's going to be a weird one because I know you don't watch hockey. Hockey's my favorite sport. And
McDavid,
they're not my favorite team.
Connor Bedard,
clearly.
Really?
No.
Oh.
I watch the Red Wings and I watch the Canucks. Those are my two teams. My kids, I grew up taking them to Canucks games, and I'm a diehard Wings fan. I cannot turn off an Edmonton Oilers game.
Because McDavid's electric.
Connor McDavid, when he gets going, and it may be sacrilegious, I'm not saying he's the best of all time. That is the funnest hockey player that I've ever seen in my entire life. And I've been watching the sport since I was 12 years old. He does stuff that I'm just, and I ended up rooting for him. He absolutely pulls me in. And it's a joy to watch. The same thing. He does stuff each and every night. And then also, again, I think it helps that he seems like a pretty good guy. And I don't know why, but that matters to me. Like I have a hard time. I can appreciate dudes that are like that you know are rough around the edges, but it's not the same level of joy when you actually feel like you have a good guy.
Yeah, I mean for me in that realm, like there are two other guys. I mean, they're not as good as Steph anyways, but Ja Morant and Anthony Edwards are dudes that are so electric when they take over a game, like I can't stop watching. They don't do it with the same consistency that Steph does, but they're also kind of asshats.
Their games are fun. So. Caitlin Clark may be on some people's list too.
Yeah,
by
exactly.
The way, the topic here is athletes that bring you joy when you watch them. It's not about greatness. It's just like that really gets you going. A couple people on the text line saying Marshawn Lynch.
Sure.
Oh, that's a good. He's a vibes guy for sure. That's
absolutely.
A good one.
Absolutely. He's one of those guys. And again, it's going to be an odd one, but there's a guy in the UFC named Derek Lewis.
Oh, yeah. That was the dude who was like all excited at what, like.
Yeah, he was going
to get his wife on the ground after
he's going to ground and pound his wife. Yeah. And he's just, you know, he's not one of the best fighters, but anytime he tunes in, he will get me to watch a fight. Just he goes in and he's either going to knock you out or he's going to get knocked out in about 45 seconds. He's not a very good fighter. He just swings from the hip and he gets knocked out or he knocks you out. And then there's usually something funny in the interview. He's a guy that always makes me smile.
You know, I'm surprised we didn't mention any pitchers between the threes of us.
Ohtani is that for me too, but I thought you kind of already said it. And I can't take my eyes off Shohei.
For me, one in the past but it's Tim Lincecum. Just the kind of the total package that like the enjoyment of physically watching him deliver
a
baseball was way up there.
Yeah, because he's, I mean, you could say like guys like Kershaw and Bumgarner, but they're kind of boringly good.
Yeah.
They weren't that. They didn't move you the way.
I can't take my eyes off Shohei Ohtani.
I feel that way about him as a hitter, even when he's not pitching.
Well, he had a no hitter the other night. His stuff was nasty.
He just is. He's a different guy.
Through five innings,
I would give anything if he could play for the Mets. I couldn't tell you the last time I bought a jersey. I'm not a jersey guy. If Shohei Ohtani signed with the Mets, I would have a Shohei Ohtani jersey in about 4 seconds.
Somebody else mentioned Jokic. That's a good one.
Ooh, yeah.
Brings a lot of people some joy.
Sure. Yep.
All right. Coming up next, a look at the NFC North quarterbacks of yesteryear. And then Joey Harrington will join us on The Fan. Quick update. First of all, this is the stupid gin blossoms.
Not to be confused with, what was the...
The Wallflowers.
The Wallflowers. The Wallflowers were Bob Dylan's kids band, right?
Yeah.
Jacob Dylan?
I didn't realize that.
That's right.
Yeah, their lead singer is Bob Dylan's
One kid. Headlight.
I remember that one.
Pretty good song.
We Can Drive It Home. Was it a good song?
I think it was, yeah.
I think it was a popular
song.
Yeah,
he was actually pretty good, I thought. Jacob Dylan. Yeah. At any rate, a couple things from live sports. The Mariners are already up 1-0. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that's nice if you're a Mariner fan.
Yeah.
And Bucks, Iowa Rutgers over. Both teams have scored a touchdown in the first 5 minutes.
That's right.
God. What are the chances of that? Tulsa, by the way, up 10-3 on Oklahoma
Rocko!
State.
The
fire Mike Gundy.
Don't look now, but if you're expecting some strength of schedule points by the Cowboys going to do their thing against Tulsa, maybe not. Tulsa's beating Oklahoma State.
Before we get to Joey Harrington coming up next, we'll get back into this weekend's matchup between the Ducks and the Beavers. Buck sent this along, and I thought it fascinating. The NFC North, it is a graphic of quarterbacks for the Packers, Lions, Bears, and Vikings since 1992.
Okay.
Packers have had three.
Yeah.
Which is in and of itself, that's it's unbelievable.
It's absurd.
They have had three quarterbacks since 1992. Now, you have to have played a minimum of 10 games.
Sure, so it doesn't count if you get like three starts.
Right.
But the idea that you went from Brett Favre and then drafted Aaron Rodgers, booted Favre for Rodgers, and then booted Rodgers, and we don't know, but you did sign Jordan Love to be a franchise quarterback. If Jordan Love ends up being a multi-time Pro Bowler and whatever, Green Bay right now is the best team in the NFL, that may be the greatest back-to-back-to-back string that we've ever seen.
1992!
That's just stupid.
I can't even...
No.
I don't even think that's right. Is that right?
That's right. It's insane.
Yeah.
God. Okay, so guess
Cleveland
how
does
many...
that in 1 year.
I know. Yeah, totally. Boy, you know what? That's right.
Yes.
Cleveland, the guy with the jersey?
Every year.
Yeah.
So Lions, Bears, and Vikings combined since 1992. Packers, three.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks with at least 10 games played.
Yeah.
Lions, Bears, Vikings combined.
Combined? God, we got to be in the 20s. I mean, you got to be 20 plus, right?
The answer. Lions, Bears, Vikings since 1992 have a combined 47 quarterbacks
that have started 10. And I'll bet you if you took the ones that have started three or more, I'll bet you that number is probably 60.
So real quick, Lions, Pete Kramer, some guy named Gagliano.
I kind of remember him.
Ware, Craig, Mitchell, Batch, McMahon.
That's Mike McMahon, not Jim McMahon.
I don't remember Mike McMahon.
Yeah, I do.
Joey Harrington, Kitna, Orlovsky, Culpepper, and Stafford.
Orlovsky running out of the end zone. I don't
remember. And golf.
I don't remember Dante Culpepper.
I don't either.
I missed that one. I know he was bounced around a bit, but I don't remember him in
remember him with the Dolphins.
Yeah. He was the one that tried to kill Nick Saban.
They also have somebody on here named Hill. In between Stafford and Goff, who would that be?
Sean Hill.
Sean?
S-H-A-U-N. He played for the Niners, too.
Yeah.
I don't remember him. Okay, Bears. Harbaugh, Walsh, Kramer, Craig, Stenstrom, Matthews, McNown, Miller, Chandler, Orton, Grossman.
Please.
Rex, Grossman.
Super Bowl quarterback.
Haney, who I don't remember. Cutler.
Caleb Haney.
McCown. Trubisky, Fields, and Williams.
Oh, my God. Dude, that thing's rough.
How about that?
That's a rough. Like Juan Soto, by the way, 42nd home run, and the Mets have busted this game wide open. Suck it, everybody.
They're back.
We told you we were back.
Wait, it's not 47. It's 51, sorry.
51.
I didn't count correctly.
We need to put together like a side-by-side in who has the crappiest list, because this is...
Okay. One more.
This is
Vikings.
Bad.
Okay.
They have I remember a couple of them.
Gannon.
Yeah.
McMahon.
Yeah.
Salisbury. Moon. Johnson.
Yeah.
Cunningham. George. Culpepper. Jackson.
Tavares Jackson.
Tavares Jackson. Yeah.
Okay. Ferratt.
Just. Yeah.
Favre.
Oh yeah.
Ponder.
Oh yeah.
Cassell.
Castle. It's Matt Castle.
Matt Castle. Bridgewater. Bradford. Keenum. Cousins, Darnold.
Okay, now let me say this. It's not even close. The Minnesota is, like, they do not belong in this category.
No, they're the best one.
They have a lot of guys, but they're not as bad as the other two.
No.
There's not just bad. There is some really
there's
good.
There's some talent.
There's good quarterback play in there.
Culpepper, Moon.
Yeah. Brad Johnson wasn't bad there. There was
Favre.
Did you say Favre was good there? Cunningham was before that, right? You didn't. He wasn't in there.
Yeah, he was in there.
Okay, Cunningham. By that was the year I still say was the best team that I've seen not make a Super Bowl. God, that team was good. That was the Gary Anderson missed field goal, first one all year. There's some real quarterbacks in there. So the question becomes: take Minnesota out because they got nothing to complain about. I'll bet you that's a better lineup than 70% of the NFL. I don't know who's worse, though.
I do.
Between those first two.
I think it's the Bears.
You Bears?
Yes, and the reason I say that is because at least the Lions have Stafford.
Yeah.
And Goff.
And Goff.
Who is the best? Of the Bears guys, who's the best?
And haven't the Bears never had a 4,000-yard passer?
Ever? They haven't had anybody.
So none of those guys has achieved statistical greatness.
The correct answer is Jay Cutler.
Yeah, he's the best of that crew. But that's not.
It's the Bears.
It's You're the right. Bears.
Because those are two. Stafford was really good, and Goff has been really good. So, yes. Congratulations, Chicago Bears. You are king of the dip S's.
There you go. All right, Joey Harrington, let's talk some Civil War. Coming up next, here's Buck.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Waking up on Monday, and the coffee just can't quite wash away last night's six-pack of hams. But Tuesday brings the promise of making things all right. But you still drive to work in your family's minivan. The doctor calls on Wednesday, right before your flight, to talk about your colorectal exam. You're back to work on Thursday and your boss is all uptight, 'cause you didn't push your best-selling brand. But now it's the Friday drive and it's story time. Yes, it's story time. The one time a week when you can truly plan to kick back and listen to story time. Yes, it's story time. We're pushing it out on every airwave we can. We're on both 105.1 and 1080 The Fan. Part of The Fan's Global Sports Radio Network.
All right, it's the 129th Civil War tomorrow. Oregon and Oregon State. Joey Harrington with us. Does it feel like rivalry week to you?
No.
Yeah. That was a no. Deflated no.
I mean, I actually, if I'm being honest, I have more rivalry feelings for Central Jesuit tonight than I do for Oregon State right now. Mm. And not because I don't have a rivalry with Oregon State, but it's because of what has happened to Oregon State. And it's sad and it's depressing and it's not right. And at the same time, it's where we are.
Does it kind of rob you of, like, even if, let's say Oregon wins by, whether you win by 10 or whether you win by 50, do you take any enjoyment out of it?
Oh, sure. We still won. You know, anytime you beat the Beavers, it's good. But, I mean, I should say this. If we win by 10, then I'm a little concerned. And I also bet a friend I bet him $1 and so he gave me $5 and I gave him $1 and I gave him 50 points.
Mm. Whoa.
I like it.
That's confidence.
I think I made a good bet.
Yeah. God.
Well, and that says all you need to know, that even though it's $1 that you feel pretty confident about laying 50 points. That, that kind of stinks.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I would like to be able to express this feeling without being judged in my, or having my duckness questioned. Can I do that?
Yes.
Is this a safe space?
Yeah. No one will be judging.
We're in the
you.
Trust tree.
No one's listening anyway. Okay.
I feel bad for him. Yeah. I do. Like, am I going to go out of my way to root for the Beavers? No. But will I, like, I don't know. It's not right. It's not right what has happened to both Oregon State and Washington State. I mean, what, we were talking, Wazoo lost to, who, North Texas or someone by, like, 100 last week?
It was bad.
I mean, it's the fact that college, now, so there's one thing, you know, for Oregon State being bad for 28 years, you know, that in the old world of college football, right? They just, I mean, you just couldn't figure it out and you sucked and that's awesome, right? Like, I can root against that. In this world where it is money driven, it is transfer driven, it is TV contract driven, it is like all the things that, you know, based on they're in Corvallis, Oregon, right? And so by all those metrics, they're not included. Like that, like I just don't, I don't know. I just have a hard, this is old man yelling at the clouds, but I just have a hard time with it.
I have a question for you, though. As a duck, you said that about Oregon State.
Yeah.
Would you ever say that about Washington?
Oh no, they're in Seattle and they have money, so screw them.
Well, like, let me paint a scenario, because what happened to Oregon State would not happen to Washington.
No.
But right. let's say Washington went to the Big Ten and Oregon was left out.
Well, then that's stupid on their part, and you know we're significantly cooler and better than Washington.
Well, what I'm getting at,
the Big Ten made a big mistake.
Well, here's what I'm getting at. I don't think through the lens of should the rivalry game continue. I wonder your thoughts, because I feel like the Oregon Washington rivalry should always continue no matter what. Oregon State may have run its course. Point being. Ooh. You know, ooh. You just what you just said, like, I mean, at this point, it's ooh. A pity party, whereas it, that would never happen with Washington. You see what I mean?
Did he just say that, Sook?
He did.
Did he say that Oregon and Oregon State should not play each other anymore?
That is the direct quote out of Asachi's mouth. And by the way, next year, they're not going to.
I'm on that train.
There's a lot of Beaver fans that feel that way, by the way. I would say the vast majority of Beaver fans that I've talked to, including three ex-players that I've chatted with over the last 2 weeks, kind of in the midst of this, you know, holy crap, what's happening? And I got to tell you, it is overwhelming that they don't want to play this.
Hi.
I get it.
They've lost hope, and they don't feel like it went from... Yeah, they knew Oregon was better, and they knew that it was an uphill battle and that sort of thing. To now, it feels like, from the people I talk to, it just feels like an inevitable ass-kicking that they don't want to endure. It's like a reminder of how far the gap has grown. And I think the vast majority of fans, at least the ones that have reached out to me, they don't want to do this.
Can you blame them?
No, I can't. I get it.
I mean, shoe's on the other foot. I would ask you, like, if something had happened to Oregon, you know.
Yeah, shoe on the other foot.
Yeah,
Oregon shoe. Oregon and Nike and, like, the shoe duck uniforms. And good. I see what you did there.
I do want to talk to you about that, because the voiceover thing, and we need to talk about that because that's really cool. But, no, let's say in a world where you no longer feel, because like, you take UW, right? Because that's the whole, it was the big brother, little brother thing, and then you guys kind of rose up, and now there's this great rivalry. But if you got to the point where you did not feel there was any way to be competitive with UW, and it was going to be like, you're going into these games and it's 5-6 touchdown spreads, and people are like, no, that's, you're going to cover. How many years before you're like, I don't want to do this anymore?
Damn it.
Yeah.
You guys, I don't like it when you make valid points that contradict the way that I feel. That's not why I call into this radio show.
Well, how do you feel? You feel like they should just...
I feel like Oregon and Oregon State should always play.
Always play.
Yeah, and okay. I feel that way,
always.
Too.
Always.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, it's peanut butter and jelly. Yeah. It's, you know, lamb and tuna fish. It's Oregon and Oregon State.
See, and I'm that way, too. I feel like, as a player, I would always want that opportunity. As a fan, I would always want that opportunity because... weird things happen. I mean, last year in the Apple Cup, something weird happened. A couple years ago, what, 18 straight runs or whatever it was, weird things can happen. I just feel like that to me is I would ask Oregon State's AD, I would ask Oregon State's leadership, you got to do something because that feeling of hopelessness is real right now, and that's not, okay. You can't allow
it. Okay. No, I'm going to interject here. I'm coming back at you, okay? Yeah. So Oregon State, Washington State, they're recreating the pack. They are putting together a group of schools that are going, they're going to demand that they are part of the Power Five again, right? So how can you have that feeling that you're part of the crew, that you are putting this thing, we're getting the band back together, and then at the same time, out of the other side of your mouth, say, yeah, but we're just not good enough to play Oregon, and we can't compete. Like, it's one or the other.
Yeah.
Right? It's one or the other. Either we are in this thing, and the new pack is back, and we're better than ever, and rah-rah, sis, boom, bah. Or, you know what, let's just scrap it and go join a conference with, well, I was going to say North Texas, but North Texas beat the hell out of Washington State. So, right? Do you see my point here? Like, it's not an either or. You got to have them both. Either you're putting the conference back together, therefore you're going to go out and play the best teams, even if Oregon is significantly better than you, or you resign yourself to the fact of that college football has changed and you are no longer able to compete at the level that you once did, and you take a step back. But you can't do both.
Yeah. Well, why not? I mean, why can't they build the new league but also say, forget you, Oregon, you left us? Things have changed.
But that's different. That's different from what Suk was saying. Because Suk was saying that the Oregon State people that he talked to felt like they no longer had a chance. Like, if you're going in at 5 or 6 touchdown under, that was the whole point.
Yes.
Right? Mine is a little different. Screw you, Oregon, you left us.
Mine is a little different. I think Oregon State should not oblige Oregon and play with them, play against them for. Part of what Suk's, I mean, you know, they're at two completely different levels, but that can always change or you know, those ebbs and there are ebbs and flows there. To me, it's more, hey, you ruined the rivalry, not us. We're not playing you.
And I can see the valid point behind that if you want to be a spiteful little, you know, little punk. You know, but like that, I was going to say something else, but I caught myself. I was like, can I say it on the radio?
Mm-hmm. You have before, coincidentally.
Shut up.
Yeah,
we've got the drop.
Yeah, I'm not going to play it right now.
It's one of the best ones.
But stay tuned. After Joey hangs up, we'll play it.
It'll be a montage.
Oh wait, yeah.
I'm gonna have to tell my brother to turn it off the radio because so my nephew doesn't hear.
Yes,
because remember, you guys were blamed for
that's right.
Albums, but that's a yeah.
Hey, we got to take credit for cleaning up. Well. That word. I mean, we've done a better job.
Yeah, we have.
We've been scolded behind the scenes.
Yeah, we're properly talked to.
Trust me. We've done better.
Yeah.
So we're growing. Okay. Well, you say play the rivalry. Okay. They're not going to play next year. We know that for sure.
Yes.
What if they, when they bring it back, they move it to November? Is that better?
Better for who? I mean, what?
The rivalry.
Are you asking me if I would have a stronger feeling about it in November than I do in September?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might.
Yeah.
Because then there's always that potential of, you know, Oregon, we're competing for playoff, you know, conference championship, and Oregon State gets to, you know, screw you, I'm going to knock you out.
Yeah, the old right? bracket there's, buster.
There you go.
Yeah, but in September, it's just like...
Yeah, I know. Mm. That to me, I think that, yeah, It's hard on these rivalries when they're in and when they're moved to September. It just doesn't feel the same.
No.
The weather's different. Not as much as on the line. It's just, as you've pointed out many times, a lot of strange things happen in November.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. part of that is the nature of rivalry games. Well, we'll dare to dream. When we come back, we'll talk with Joey Harrington here, courtesy Mods PDX, about Shoe Duck, the Shoe Duck Unis. Also, we have question from listener for Joey when we return on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back with Joey Harrington, Oregon State, edition number 129 tomorrow. Ducks, 35-point favorites, but if you're just tuning in, Joey has already given his friend 50 points. He's that confident. Yeah.
Well, I did get 5-1 odds.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's odds versus.
I put up a dollar.
It'll pay better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 129, and I always forget this, is it third longest in the country and longest west of the Mississippi?
I believe it's the long. It's not one, but it is the longest, I believe, in the western half of the country. But yeah, it's a top five.
Yeah.
I'll look up for you and get the exact one.
I'm on it. Lafayette and Lehigh, 159 plus. What that?
Ooh. Lafayette and Lehigh.
Yeah, the Minnesota-Wisconsin rivalry is the longest.
Yeah.
Beginning in 1906. God.
Ooh.
Uninterrupted. Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Bloop, 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 bloop.
We'll find it. What do you think of...
We were talking about Shoe Duck.
Yeah, what do you think? Pretty sweet.
What
huh?
about... Yeah,
those are awesome.
Time.
Those are my.
Yeah.
Those might be the coolest uniforms they've ever worn.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. How cool is it to and like talk me through? How did you end up getting to do the voiceover thing?
Oh, I did that like 2 years ago.
Oh, did you really?
not literally, but like it was one of those things where, God, Michael came to me. How about this small world? The guy who did that, he was in Sub with Your Girl.
Oh, really? Yeah. I Love My Ducks Michael, or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Michael Bishop, a great guy, incredibly talented, so creative. He came to me. He's like, hey, this is what we want to do. This is what we're putting together. And, you know, to honor Phil, I was like, oh, yeah, like, of course. And so he kind of explained the project and what it's supposed to be like. And it's supposed to be a thank you note. And it's like, okay, cool. And I probably tried the voiceover. I tried to get him that audio like 173 times. And he's like, okay, this part's good, but this is what I want here. Okay. And this is okay. Okay, that part's better, but this, you know, you're too loud here, or you need to have this. I was like over and over. And then I'd like the time I had it done, like my phone rang in the background. It's like it was a labor of love and he crushed it. I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah, I just thought the whole thing and then like the behind the scenes stuff, going to the cabin and like all the details. Like I haven't always been the biggest fan of some of the stuff that they've done, but lately I'd say the last 8 years or so, I think everything Oregon has done has just been spot on. And these, like I said, might be my favorite of all time.
Yeah, there's I like the ideas that honor I don't say the history, but there's a reason, there's a pretty significant reason why Oregon is where they are right now.
Yeah.
Right. And that guy's a pretty dang big part of that. Right. Yeah. And so to be able to like trace all those things to be able to, the fact that it literally started here, mm-hmm. Like this multi-billion dollar internationally known leader in sports literally started in our backyard. And it was because of this guy who is incredibly hardworking, who thought outside the box, who, you know, who pushed the envelope, who wouldn't take no for an answer. And then once he got there, like to be able to recognize the place from which you came, right? That's the thing that I think is so incredible about this. Like, people get all pissed off because, oh, Phil Knight, you know, he writes checks and you guys go, well, yeah, sure, that's right. And Phil Knight's an Oregonian. And Phil Knight is a Duck. And he recognized the role that that community and that university played in his life and getting him to the place that he is now. And he chose to give back to it. Right. That's the part that just absolutely resonates with me as an Oregonian, as someone who has been around literally in every part of this country. There's a pride that I have in Oregon. There's a pride that, and not just the university. Sure. I love the University of Oregon, but there's a pride that I have in this state. And to see Phil represent us and to see Phil give back to us in the way that he has, it's pretty awesome. Like it's really something special.
We talked about this earlier in the week because we were talking about, you know, donors and, you know, certain programs having people step up. And it is interesting, you know, it's like Phil doesn't have to do what he did, to your point. And big donors don't have to donate to football programs to help them get better or to help them compete. And when they do, oftentimes it's overlooked that it's probably because the university gave them something that meant something to them, right? Like, in other words, if there are some schools that, and look, not everybody has a Phil Knight, okay? But we were just talking about UCLA, great example. Mm-hmm. UCLA has so many big money alumni.
That don't care.
Nobody donates to that football program. Well, the question is why? You know, maybe they didn't have the experience and the connection given to them by the university that Oregon gave Phil Knight. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. The school oftentimes doesn't get credit for getting that money back, even though they probably should.
Here's an example, and it's not a direct example, but it's my personal experience. I've told you this story. I was sitting in my living room as a 17-year-old. Well, I was 18. I just turned 18. Trying to decide, am I going to go to Oregon? Am I going to Stanford? And I had the Oregon hat on, and I tried it in the mirror, and I put the Stanford hat on, and I told the coaches, like, the next day I'm going to make a decision. And I had no idea what the hell I was going to do. And my dad said, I'll never forget this, if you plan on living, working, and raising a family anywhere in the country, California, New York, Florida, Texas, Pennsylvania, wherever you want to go, I'd go to Stanford, because that is going to open doors that an Oregon degree would not. But if you plan on working, living, raising a family in the state of Oregon, even if you have a mildly successful career, heck, even if you don't set foot on the field, the community that you will become a part of, the people that you will meet, the friendships that you will make, the bonds that will be created there for you will open more doors and will be more impactful than any piece of paper from a university anywhere else in the country. And now I know that everybody's experience has not been the same. And sure, there are people who've gone to Oregon and walked out of there saying, yeah, you know, this was fine, but I'm moving on. But it's different. You know, obviously I didn't start a multi-billion dollar shoe company, but I had a similar experience. Like this is an experience that I would say more often than not, if you talk to people who went to the University of Oregon, involved in the athletic department, involved, you know, like there is a community that, I don't know, maybe I'm naive about it, but there's a community that I feel is different than a UCLA, than a Wisconsin, than, you know, name any other you know, major public university out there. There's something different about Eugene, and I honestly think it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Oregon State rivalry, fifth in FBS, fifth most played in FBS.
Okay.
And it is the most played west of the Rocky Mountains.
Not too shabby. And then next year there's a break and then it comes back. So that is the official deal. It will skip Corvallis next year and then we'll come back in Eugene the year after that. And then we're back to the back and forth.
We have a listener question for you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You said that.
Yeah. Comes from a man named Doug. Dougie Doug.
Dougie.
It could be Dougie Fresh.
Sure. Dougie Fresh points out that you were at the first Heisman ceremony after 9/11.
Oh. So I was at the first Heisman ceremony not held at the Downtown Athletic Club.
After 9/11.
Oh, where'd you guys have it?
Correct. Yeah. We had it at the Marriott Marquis. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he asks, what are your memories of that?
We're way off topic on this. This is like a December question.
That's what we do.
Don't deny Doug.
Doug demands answers. He asks the tough questions.
Let's say this. When I was introduced as Joey Harrington by the president of the Downtown Athletic Club, mind you, when I was introduced as a finalist as Joey Harrington from Oregon State University.
Jeez.
I knew that I was not going to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at that moment, I looked to the server, the waiter to the left of me, and I said, are those drinks free? And he said, yes, they are. And I said, I will have two of them, and I will have the best weekend I could possibly have on your dime.
What
so
was the drink?
That is what I remember. I don't know, but it was free, and I wasn't going to win.
Yeah. All right, so but the 9/11 thing.
That's a great story, by the way. That really is from Oregon State University. Drinks, please. Make that a double.
Make that a double, and keep them coming. was this supposed to be like a 9/11 question? Maybe that was the framework of the question.
Well, I think Doug wanted to know what did it feel like having, you know, being there just right after 9/11. I think that was the root of the question. But
Well, God, then you should have set me up like that. Jeez.
Well, I thought it was implied, but you only went to Oregon, not Stanford. So.
That's true.
Well, you said, what do I remember about that weekend? I don't know. That's what I remember about the weekend. Yeah. We did. Man, this is like super heavy. Like, uh-oh. You sure you want to go here?
No. But no. Doug is.
Doug is. Well, okay, Doug, it's your fault. We went and visited.
Yeah.
And it was the first week of December, and it was still smoldering.
Yeah.
I mean, it was of course blocked off, and you know the walls are up, and you know murals, and people had still had missing signs, and there were drawings from kids, and It was, I don't even want to use the word surreal because I'm not quite sure that adequately describes it, but like to have been there, May, we went, I think on Memorial weekend when the billboard went up, to have been there 6 months earlier and then all of a sudden to have that just be gone. Like it was, yeah, that it's honestly something that and not because I don't want to think about it, but I wonder if maybe like part of me has kind of blocked it out a little bit. Like that, it was heavy.
Yeah.
Like, it was intense. And I actually haven't been back to the new,
Freedom Tower.
Mm-hmm. But I've heard it's pretty spectacular.
Yeah. So my agent was based out of Connecticut. So when I signed with him, we flew out there. He was like Joe Flacco's agent and a couple other guys. And he had a little event. He was based out of Connecticut. So I flew out. They flew us all out there to New York. We flew into New York and then drove into Connecticut. And so that was in December or January. And same thing. It was smoldering. And so the pilot banked his wings so that we could see it. And I don't remember if it was JFK or LaGuardia. I don't remember which one it was in, but you know, it was this real kind of weird tone. And he said, if you look out the left, and he goes, we'll take a quick bank. And, we, you know, you're pretty low coming in. And, yeah, the whole thing, it looked like it was still on fire. Like, there was a significant amount of smoke and smolder still coming up from it. And I remember the how big it was, like the area. It's like it's massive. Like, you think of two buildings, but the actual footprint of it that had gone down, I've never been on an airplane that was quieter. Like, no one said, there wasn't an ooh, there wasn't an ah, there wasn't a picture. It just was a weird, eerie silence. And then we landed. Yeah, same
kind of like thing. Kind of like this show.
Yeah,
where all of a sudden at the end there's this weird, eerie silence, and then we go to commercial.
Go to commercial.
No, we have to play your bitch drop first.
That's true.
But wait, what? Who won the Heisman? The Crouch?
Yeah, right.
Crouch.
Yeah.
Oh man.
One of the worst Heismans of all time.
I call him like once a year and ask him how my trophy's doing.
Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah. Do you really?
The best. Oh, sure I do. Of course. And the best answer he's given me is, it's looking pretty damn good on my shelf. So I was like, yep, touche.
Who else was there?
Kenny Dorsey and Rex Grossman.
Yeah.
Oh, sexy Rex.
Super Bowl quarterback Rex Grossman, please. Thank you.
All right. Okay, man. Good luck on your 50-point bet.
Yeah, I could come up big this weekend. $5.
You could. You also may not.
Yeah.
All right. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game.
Okay, bye.
Mods PDX, the future of building is here. Joey Harrington each Friday at 5:30. It's only a matter of time before this happened, and it's here, Jason. Are you ready to lose some weight? Because I am.
6'8", lose some weight.
Eli Lilly coming through. That's next on The Fan.
You freaking bitch.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.